Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and today we're going to be covering all the fights from this past weekend, which was UFC Fight Night 188. So we're going to cover all those fights, which we definitely had a star was born in that event. We're also going to cover this weekend's UFC 199, which is Rockhold versus Bisping. And then we're also going to touch on some MMA or UFC news, which we're going to touch on a little bit with about Ronda Rousey, news about Ronda Rousey, an update on the Conor McGregor-Nate Diaz fight, and a little bit more. So hang in there, and I'll be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Okay, I'm back. And this past weekend, we had UFC Fight Night 188. And, you know, originally, I really wasn't that excited about UFC Fight Night 188. I thought, you know, it'll be a decent fight. I knew that Cody was a pretty heck of a fighter. Thomas Almeida was definitely a good fighter. But I really wasn't, really overly excited to just really get into this fight. And so the fight, you know, as a matter of fact, I kind of recorded the fight and then went back and watched it because I just really wasn't in like a big hurry to see it. And, you know, when I got around to seeing it, the card actually shocked me. It may not have had the big star power that a lot of the other cards may have, but where it lacked in star power, this actually card actually made up with tons of action. In the main event, which was Thomas Almeida versus Cody Barao, man, I tell you what, a star was born at UFC 88. Cody jumped on Thomas Almeida and he took him out in pretty quick fashion. 3 minutes into this fight and it was over. And he looked so impressive. And then even afterwards, he looked like a guy that was a contender. You know, when you were interviewing him, you know, he's another Cleveland guy. And as I've mentioned before, I'm a Cleveland guy. But, you know, he's pretty much, he's ready to fight a top contender. But his big goal right now is to fight, you know, in the next UFC event in Cleveland. And I really liked his answer. He pretty much said it didn't matter who he fought. It could be someone a little higher, it could be someone lower. If they're willing to fight in that Cleveland event, he's there to knock him out. And I believed him. He looked fantastic. He looks on the top of his game and he looks like he's ready to contend and get in that title picture. So I was really impressed by him. And then when you look at some of the other cards on this fight, because, and like I said, the main event only lasted 3 minutes, but it was a spectacular 3 minutes. Now, you know, and then we talk about the co-main event, which actually featured, you know, a decent fight, which had, it had Jeremy Stephens versus Hannah Burrell. And, you know, I was expecting this to be the show that really, the fight that actually, you know, would steal the card, and it did. I mean, it was a really great fight. It ended up being winning the award for the bonus for fight of the night. Jeremy Stephens, he looked really impressive. I actually had the fight two rounds to one. So, you know, it was, you know, but it was a really close, very competitive fight. I think it really set Stevens up for, you know, some big things in the future and some much larger fights. Now, Burrell, though, a great fighter, former champion, coming off, falling to his second loss in a row. This is going to knock him back. It doesn't derail his career, but it definitely takes him out of the title contention for a little while. He's going to have to go back to the drawing board, get back into things, and get him a couple of wins back in so he can be back in the, you know, the main picture. So, but as a whole, it was, you know, a really great card. That Jeremy Stephens, I was so impressed with him. I was impressed with the fight. Another fight on this card that I was really, and this was really, because I'm a big fan of women's MMA. So the one fight I was really looking forward to was Sarah McMahon versus Jessica Ai. Now, because of the fight, the fact that the division is so, it's a small division. The women's division doesn't have all the fighters that the men's division has. So there's nothing but really tough fights in the women's divisions here. And, you know, and so I was expecting a really great fight. And it was an okay fight. It wasn't a spectacular fight. But in the end, Sarah McMahon won, which gave her, you know, a much-needed win. Both fighters were going into this, you know, winning one out of the last four. So this really got McMahon back on track, and it really derailed Jessica Ai. Jessica Ai is now, I think, is in some little trouble in the UFC. You know, I hope she doesn't get sent back down to Invicta, because I think she's a very talented fighter. But, you know, she's losing multiple fights. You know, she's going to have to really go back to the drawing board as well and really reinvent herself. McMahon, afterwards, I was a little surprised by her statement, especially because she hadn't won a lot in over the last four or five fights. And she was talking about getting into a title picture and getting a title match. And I really didn't think, you know, I know she's excited about the win, but right now she's so far away from the championship picture. You know, she's going to have to run off three or four wins before she can ever get back into the title picture. She has a great name, but without, you know, without another three or four straight wins, she can't really contend for the UFC Women's Championship. But all in all, UFC Fight Night 188 was a really great card. I'm really glad I had a chance to take a look at it. Now, when we come back, I'm going to touch a little bit more on UFC 199, which is this weekend, which is Rockhold versus Bisbane.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Okay, we're back. And now we're going to talk about the upcoming event that's going on this weekend, which is an event I'm really excited for, which is UFC 199, and which is Rockhold versus Brisbane. And, you know, when this fight was originally scheduled, and, you know, Chris Wyman had to step out of this fight, and, you know, I found out Bisbane was going to be the contender for fighting for the title, and I was just not happy about the fact that, because I thought he truly lost to Anderson Silva. And so I was thinking, and I'm like, how can the UFC actually put Bisbane in for this title match? I don't think he deserves it. And then I kind of realized, you know, when I was watching the press conference leading into this, why the UFC actually picked Bisbane. Bisbane can sell a fight like no other. I'll put him in that category of, you know, a Chael Sonnen or, you know, Conor McGregor. Not as much, maybe not as much flair, but he can definitely sell a fight. And I think it's true. It's true hype. I don't think Bisping is really afraid of anyone. I think he truly wants to get in there. I think he really wants to get in there and fight Rockhold. And I think he really wants. I think he realizes that this is going to be his one and only big shot at the title. And I think he's going to try to put everything he has in it. You know, I was kind of surprised of something as I was watching the press conference. And, you know, Bisping is really, you know, really getting to Rockhold a little bit. And Rockhold said something in the press conference that really shocked me, which I was just surprised and actually a little concerned about the outcome of this fight now. And that is, Rockhold came clean that he actually has a knee injury. That he has a, I believe it was an MCL injury. But he's not going to pull out of the fight. He's going to stay in there and he's going to fight. Which Rockhold used it as, you know, Bisping was saying that he was trying to use that as excuse. So that if he loses, he has a built-in excuse for a rematch. But if this is true, that he really does have a knee injury, why would you even bring that up, you know, days before the fight? I was really surprised at that. I just didn't think it was a smart decision. But, you know, this fight is on. It's going to be an interesting fight. As I've mentioned before, I am taking a Rockhold knee injury or not. I am taking Rockhold to win. And I got him winning by a knockout. But, you know, it definitely some cause for pause. If that knee injury situation, depending on how bad this knee injury situation is. But it's definitely something to consider and think about when you're thinking about who you're taking in this fight. Now, the next main event, the co-main event fight, it's just pure fireworks. I mean, this is a fight that, my goodness, it's been building and waiting to happen for a while, which is Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber. I think Faber realizes that this is his opportunity. You know, this is kind of like the rubber match where they've already fought a couple times. Cruz is definitely, you know, the one on the more hot streak, the champion of Cruz. But, you know, I really think Faber has a good shot. Cruz is one of those guys, if it stays up, I don't think anyone has a chance against Cruz. But if Faber can get in and get rough with him, take him to the ground, and make it an ugly fight, there is a scenario where I could see Uriah Faber pulling out a very rough and tumble fight where, you know, a lot of taking to the mat, a lot of ground and pound. That would be the best scenario. But as a whole, when I really look at the outcome, as much as I'm a big Uriah Faber fan, being that he's from Sacramento, I am still going to take Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz's skills are just so polished, and he's so unique of a fighter that I just think it's going to be just more than what Faber can handle. You know, I wish them both the best. I'm a big fan of both of these guys. But, yes, I'm actually taking Cruz. And then there's a couple other fights that are coming up, on the UFC 199 fight card that I'm kind of looking forward to. You know, the Hector Lombard-Dan Henderson fight where, you know, honestly, I've said this before, this is Dan's last chance, I think, to reclaim his career. I think if he loses this, I think there's going to be a lot of push to make Dan retire. And I don't think Dan's ready to retire. But sometimes, Father Time is undefeated. And sometimes, sometimes you're kind of forced to retire before you're ready. Dan Henderson has to win and has to look impressive, which he can definitely do because he can knock anyone out at any point in time in a fight. And I think that's what he's going to have to depend on. If he can pull off a win, he can get right back. Not necessarily he can't get in the title picture, but you know, it's one of those things where it kind of rebuilds his career. I personally am taking Hector Lombard to win the fight. I think it's going to go to distance. But, you know, I would like to see Dan do well, and I hope he, you know, if he, you know, I hope it turns out to be, you know, a really entertaining fight. Because the thing with Dan is, Dan Henderson, it doesn't matter what round it is. You have to pay attention to this fight, because at any time, he can put your lights out. And, you know, so, which makes that an interesting fight. There's a couple other fights on here that, on this card that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm always a fan of Clay Guida. Clay is just, he's probably the most interesting, has one of the most interesting styles in mixed martial arts. I've never seen anyone that fights like him. He frustrates a lot of fighters. He's never boring. He's that fighter that you can't take your eyes off of. So I'm looking forward to seeing that fight as well. There's, you know, there's this is going to be a nice card. I'm looking forward to talking about it. I will definitely be tuning in to cover this one. So from here, we've covered UFC 199. We'll talk about it more after the fights are over, which will be probably we'll cover those on Monday. But the next thing we're going to roll into is a little UFC news. And, you know, but before I leave UFC 199, I wanted to talk about an interview that I heard. And that the interview is one of those things where, you know, having my own podcast, traditionally, a lot of times people say, you know, you shouldn't talk about another show's podcast. But there's one particular podcast that I've been a big fan of, and that's Ariel Helwani's Mixed Martial Arts Hour, which is it's a must listen or must view. It's actually a video as well. But you know, I tell you, Ariel is one of the most connected people in the mixed martial arts world, and so I always give him a lot of respect. And he had two interviews this week that I just that I watched that I was really, you know, intrigued by. The first one was his interview with Chris Weidman, where Chris was actually talking about the UFC 199 main event, Rockhold versus Brisbane. And I was a little surprised, but Chris compared this fight of Rockhold versus Brisbane as maybe the easiest title defense in UFC history. He didn't really give Brisbane much of a chance. Didn't really feel like he respected Brisbane very much. So I was, you know, but he definitely stated that this would be the easiest title defense in UFC history. I think Brisbane would have a little something to say about that, but especially with the knee injury, I think it's going to be a little tougher than people think. But like I said, I'm still taking Rockhold. Another interview that Ariel had this week, and I don't normally just go and talk about someone else's podcast this much, but he had a few interviews that were just noteworthy to talk about. He had an interview with Chael Sonnen. And, you know, he pretty much, by the time that interview was over, because Chael's been suspended, but his suspension's coming up to be over. And I kind of, you know, after the interview, I kind of agree with Ariel, where he was talking about how when it's all said and done, that Chael's going to be coming back, which I think is a really, you know, really great thing for MMA fans out there, because Chael can actually sell a fight. People get excited about his fights, and I, for one, welcome him back. I think one of the people, Chael talked about how, you know, he would be willing to fight almost anybody, but he still has a little, issue with Anderson Silva, and I think he really wants to get another shot at Anderson. I think that one really gets to him, and I don't think he's finished until he can get one more shot at Anderson. But I'm kind of excited about seeing Chael come back. You know, he didn't officially say he's coming back, but he kind of implied he was coming back. And then another interview that Ariel did this weekend was with Nate Diaz. And I, you know, I was kind of, I was really interested in that interview because I was definitely curious about what Nate would say about what's going on between him and Connor. And Nate said a few interesting things. Number one, he touched on the Floyd Mayweather Connor McGregor fighting. He kind of says the way I say it. You're talking about the best boxer in the world fighting a guy that you know that isn't a boxer. Mixed martial arts is a totally different sport. And he was saying pretty much that if they fought a boxing fight, a boxing match, that Mayweather would just eat him alive. And I respected him for saying that because there is a huge difference between MMA and boxing. Boxing is a skill, but it's, you know, it's half of MMA. And most MMA fighters who train with boxing, but they don't spend all their time training with boxing. They also train on takedown defenses and everything else. So, you know, if the, you know, and I agreed with Nate where if it's a boxing match, I think Mayweather will win with ease. But I also agree, and I you know, that if it was an MMA match, I would take Conor McGregor. But, you know, Mayweather would never agree to do a MMA match. But, you know, back to the interview, one of the things he was talking about is how Nate felt like he should be able to get paid as much as Conor McGregor since he won. And I understand why he would think that and why he would feel that way. But, you know, I don't think Dana White feels that way.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And then I was watching an interview on ESPN where Dana was talking about, you know, what's next for Conor McGregor. And he also, you know, he touched on the fact that, you know, he's trying to find another fight for Conor McGregor, and kind of implied, you know, it's just been, you know, just a crazy situation, and they don't kind of agree with Nate on the pay, and that they don't think that fight can actually be put together. But Dana also mentioned that Conor McGregor is obsessed with fighting Nate Diaz again at the 170-pound weight class. Now, you know, and I understand wanting to get back in there and beat the guy that beat you and even beat him at the weight. But I still think it's a big mistake by Conor that to be fighting at 170. I could see if they decided they're going to fight at a catch weight and they were fighting at like 155, I would be okay with that. You know, it's just a different fight. The bigger the guy gets, the more you can absorb. Connor's a smaller guy. I don't like seeing him even considered a 155. I think the most I would love to see him go up to is the 155 weight class. But they were also talking about, you know, what could be Connor's next fight. And, you know, some of the ones is the obvious ones, which is Frankie Edgar, which would be an interesting fight. Jose Aldo would be, you know, considering, even though, I mean, I was so impressed with the knockout, you know, there really hasn't been a Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor fight, because the first one was just like, close your eye, like blink, and the fight is over, and we have a new champion. So we never really saw how Conor would do against Jose Aldo, even though, hey, he won the fight. He knocked him out in record time. You know, that's just part of fighting, and so I don't discount the win or anything like that. But I would love to see how, you know, Conor would do against Jose in a little bit more extended fight. So I'm very curious about that. And then one of the last things I want to touch on is Ronda Rousey. And we've all been looking forward to seeing Ronda come back and get back into the octagon. And, you know, I thought it would, I was originally, I didn't think she'd be back for 200, but I was expecting like 202, 203, New York. I thought those would be the options. And then I thought Dana dropped a huge bombshell, and that is that Ronda just had knee surgery, which means that Ronda's out for pretty much most of this year. It was Dana said it was a minor knee surgery, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, it takes time for a knee to heal up, and now the best case scenario for her to make it back into the ring would be December of this year, if that. And I don't even know if I am now starting to lean toward the fact that Ronda could miss the entire 2016 year, which is a shame, you know, because she's been such a rock star in the women's mixed martial arts, the division. She definitely moves the needle, and, you know, I would love to see her get in the ring again soon. One of the things that Dana did talk about, though, is this, is that when she's healthy, if Misha Tate wins her match, most likely, if Ronda fights in December, Misha Tate and Ronda would be fighting in December. That, you know, Misha will have to defend her title against Ronda Rousey. So that was another bit of news. So if anyone's thinking about, you know, wanting to know when Ronda's going to be back, I'm pretty much, you know, you can pretty much either bet December or January for the title against Misha Tate. With that, I just wanted to touch on a little bit about this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, you know, UFC Fight Night 88, and then get ready for this weekend's fight, which is UFC 199. I get excited about just seeing the 199 because it just reminds me that the next event, guys, the next pay-per-view event is UFC 200. So when we get back next week, we'll be talking about the outcomes of all the big fights from UFC 199. Talk about the Rockhold Brisbane fight, who won between Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber, and then we're starting to gear up and ramp up for UFC 199. With that, everyone, here's another thing that was that happened this week that I was about to wrap up without giving our big news. One of the, you know, we've had this podcast for a short period of time, and, you know, and we really, really appreciate all the fans that, you know, send us emails and send us messages and have supported our new venture here of the Golden State Media Concept Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. This weekend, our podcast was number 15 in all the sports podcasts on iTunes, and we were the number 2 mixed martial arts podcast for the Memorial Day weekend, which is a big deal for a new podcast featuring MMA. So, you know, I really thanks everyone for your support and everything. We will keep on trying to crank out some great episodes and keep trying to get better. We are kind of new at this, so we're trying to get a lot better. But with that, you know, we really thank you for tuning in, and we'll be coming back on Monday. Just remember that, you know, you can always follow us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can always download us on iTunes. Also, feel free to check out some of the other GSMC podcast shows. We have a whole group of them that are pretty phenomenal, and some of them are doing, you know, really well. We had a couple of them that were ranked in the top 15 in the nation for some podcasts for sports and movies. So check those out. With that, everyone, thank you for listening, and have a good night.